This is episode number 995 with Nikki Glaser.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Maya Angelou once said, "Laugh as much as possible. Always laugh. It's the sweetest thing one can do for oneself and one's fellow human beings." An author, Oscar Wilde, said, "It is a curious fact that people are never so trivial as when they take themselves seriously." My guest today is one of the funniest people I know. Nikki Glaser has had 3 specials on Netflix. She's also the host of the Comedy Central podcast, You Up, and she's embarking on a mini tour of all outside stand-up shows at the end of the month. And what I love about Nikki's comedy is that she's always saying what we're afraid to admit we're thinking. This was truly a unique School of Greatness conversation. Nikki was hilarious, but also vulnerable and real and full of relatable stories. And we actually sat down back in early spring before the quarantine, and we thought this was a perfect time to drop the episode now. We could all use a little more humor in our lives. And if you're enjoying this episode, make sure to share it with someone who needs to hear it. And a quick reminder to subscribe to the School of Greatness on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and give us a rating and review to help us spread the message of greatness to more people. Coming up, Nikki Glaser, after I take just 2 minutes to keep the lights on.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Now, what I love about you is you really talk about vulnerabilities and insecurities, and you go in and talk about a lot of real stuff. Mm-hmm. One of the coolest things I saw you post was actually a video you shared of someone else, of a young girl that said, "I'm ugly, I'm too ugly." And then this older woman, I don't know if it's her mom or if it's an older sister,
like,
or a caretaker.
It looked like a mom's friend or something,
yeah,
who was doing her hair.
Yeah, doing her hair, was like, stopped her and was like, "No, you are beautiful. You're amazing. I love this about you." And I was like really inspired that you posted that.
Yeah.
Because I think we have a platform where we can really inspire people, and it's great to tell jokes and do your thing and, you know, make people laugh and entertainment. But when you can remind people of how beautiful they are, I think it's really special. So I want to acknowledge
you for
the gift you have in reminding girls who follow you about not comparing themselves, not judging themselves.
I was conflicted about that video in many
ways.
It was
the greatest video you posted.
It was one of the best videos I've watched. The most moving,
yeah,
like, things I've seen on Reddit. And I saw it late one night, and it popped up again yesterday. And I was like, oh, I have to repost this. I forgot. Because I showed my closest friends, because this little girl, what was heartbreaking about the video is this little girl's 4, and she looks into the camera and just like sees herself
reflection
on the screen.
Or something, right? Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like an Instagram live or something, mm-hmm. or something live. And the woman's just, you know, doing a live video while she's doing this little girl's hair. And the little girl just looks at herself and she goes, "I'm ugly." And it was just like, to me, I feel that way like so much all
now?
The time. Oh, yeah. I struggle with it a lot, and people always comment, "You're beautiful," all these things. I know. Thank you. Like, I know I'm a pretty girl who's complaining about feeling ugly, but mm-hmm. I can't help. I do feel very ugly sometimes. And I have face dysmorphia. I have body dysmorphia. But, like, as I age, too, it just gets worse and worse. And I know that so many women have it, too. So I know I'm not alone. But mm-hmm. the way this little girl said I'm ugly was, like, I felt it. I've felt that way before, but to see it, I didn't feel it until I was, I think 17 was probably the first time I started really feeling that way and being like, this, I hate myself because of it.
Really? So what would it be? You'd look in the mirror, or you'd see a girlfriend, or you'd see someone on TV, and then you'd be like, oh, I don't like the way I look?
Yeah, like, you just see someone who's beautiful and you're like, why is God so cruel to have, why I got this. I used to yell at my mom and say, why did you, and I was,
no,
I'm not joking.
You did not.
I was like 12. So it probably started younger, honestly, because my sister, it was around the time my sister got really beautiful, which she was in sixth grade and I was in eighth grade. And I remember telling my parents, I'd go, mom, I remember my mom was doing the dishes and I was just trying to antagonize her because I was just so mad that I was so ugly and my sister was so pretty. And I go, why did you and dad have sex knowing you could make something as ugly as me?
No, you did not.
I swear to God, I was like, that was irresponsible of you. You have ugliness in your family. You knew this could happen. And my mom
goes, I'm not laughing because it's...
No, it's so sad. But it is funny to say that to your own mom. And my mom was offended, obviously. Like... don't say we're ugly and you're ugly, but she would never say, you know, telling a child, you're beautiful, shut up. Like, it doesn't, that's just things parents have to say. So when she would say, like, she would say, just be happy with what you have. And that always, to me, was like, you are ugly, so just
suck
it up.
Oh, my gosh. So she wouldn't say you're beautiful?
She would, but I wouldn't believe about that. And I would go, no, I'm not. And she's like, well, then just be happy with what you have, Nikki. And I'd just be like... That's not what I want to do. I don't want to ever settle. So, like, there's this part of me that feels...
I think you had an Instagram post that was like, never settle with your dog or a dog
yeah,
that you're kissing.
Yeah, yeah, that I'm kissing with my dog. Never settle. Because I don't. I don't like being average. Yeah. I want to be extraordinary. Mm. I don't want to walk into a room and not be the prettiest girl, even though that is always the way it is. Like, I understand my limitations in terms of looks, but I truly would... do anything to be hot. I would give up my personality to be hotter.
What? Why?
I just think it affords you a better life as a woman.
I understand that.
And I know that's sad to say.
I understand that women who have the beauty card have certain opportunities in life with maybe that are different than women who have a personality or a smarts card or whatever it may be, right?
Yes.
But it doesn't mean they're going to be happy.
No, I know this. You know I see miserable models all the time. I'm friends with many of them. It doesn't equal happiness.
And they don't think they're beautiful. And there's always someone hotter. And if someone's got a bigger butt or bigger boobs.
They're more insecure than any of us, like, sevens. It is true. Like, tens are more insecure and think they're uglier than most sevens
Why
do.
Is that?
Because it's heightened. My friend who's a model, she's like, the other day she was talking to me about some guy that made her feel bad about something, her looks, and she was like, and he knows, why would he say that when he knows I'm a model? So I get told I'm ugly every day. And I go,
what?
You do? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, what do you mean? And it's like, because models are so beautiful, photographers and people that work with them feel like they can put them down so much easier because you're a model. It shouldn't affect you that I think you're gained 5 pounds or shouldn't affect you that I think your eyes are too far apart, whatever it is that makes them a model. So they get insulted all the time. And I remember having a therapist one time because I was crying about the same bullshit. She was like, you should be so grateful you're not a model. They're the most unhappy women because... unless you have some other thing you're working on, if everything about you is your looks, which I'm saying is like, I think that looks are that important and I wish I didn't, but I'm going to talk myself out of it now by saying that if everything about you is your looks, it's not a good thing to invest in because the looks are the only thing that are 100% going to fade.
They will.
If you keep going, you're going to become unfuckable, ladies. You're a dying battery of fuckability and it's okay. But it's gonna happen. So be okay with yourself. Because I've been working on like, oh, I wanna look hot to attract a man, right? Like men are just, that's how you attract them at first. And then you have a personality and then they fall in love with you or they're like easy, you talk too much. But I was focusing so much on my looks to attract a man. I want a man who just always wants to fuck me, is always so attracted to me, can't keep his hands off me. It's just, but if only loves you for the way you look, or it's like 90% of it, that 90% is going to go away.
It's fragile.
You will lose it.
They're going to get tired of it too.
Well, you will lose that. If fuckability will be gone. So if you don't have anything else to connect with that person with, he will leave you for someone more fuckable.
That's it. You have to have, this is what Matthew Hussey talks about, which I know you had Matthew
Love
on.
Love Matthew.
Great guy.
Ugh.
He says,
learned so much from him.
You need to have the combo. He's like, hot guys are only so attractive to women for so long.
Oof.
And then if they don't have the combo, which is like, you need to be hot or sexy or beautiful or handsome and, you know, I don't know, something else. It's like got to be two things. You can't just be smart. You got to be smart and sensitive.
Yes.
Can't just be hot. You got to be hot and a little something else.
You do. You
need
can't
two
just have,
things.
You need two things.
You do. And so you've got.
That's interesting.
You've got beauty and you've got personality and you've got drive and
I
you've
do.
Got hustle. You've got a lot of great qualities.
I have too many things. I really do have too many things.
You have
things.
Too many things. You don't have time for any guys.
I should have two personality traits and stick to those, but it doesn't work for me because you're so right. I
you
have
need
been.
The combo.
I love hot guys. I am. My mom's always been like, Nikki, you just always are thinking about looks. And I'm like, I can't. I struggle so much with sexual intimacy with men that if I'm not sold on you right away in terms of how you look, it's really never going to get there for me.
You're not going to be open intimately.
I can't get there. Once I've put you in a place of like, I would have sex with him, I wouldn't. You're staying there forever. And it's really, it's my way of being not open to actual intimacy. So it's like so few can get in. And the men that I'm attracted to are generally very, very out of my league attractive probably. And then also they're not really available. Because that's a thing that I'm attracted to.
They're married or they're...
No, not married.
Not into they're not into intimacy in a relationship.
They're not... They're cheaters. Mm-hmm. They don't like me.
Why do you attract those men?
Because I'm scared of intimacy. So I'm attracted
Why
to men that can't...
Why are you scared of intimacy?
I don't know. Trying to figure it out. I'd like to get to the bottom of it.
What's the scariest thing about intimacy for you?
That... I mean, I think if you really... Everyone who's scared of intimacy, which a lot of people are, it's that... You will truly get to know someone and really let them in and they won't love you for who you are and they will reject you. And then you don't have, and then you're abandoned.
And then what? Okay, and then what?
And then, or, I mean, my biggest fear of intimacy truly is like, I just have this weird fear. This is just out of nowhere weird, but it's like a real thing. I get scared of sex with men. More than anything, even though it's like all I want and like think about and I'm motivated by. I'm like a very sexual person, but I don't have sex unless I love someone or like love, whatever that is, unless I'm in a relationship or unless I have been in a relationship with them before where that's like,
right,
it's
right.
But like a new person, I'm very scared to be like sexually intimate with because of, I feel like they'll reject me. I feel like I, during the thing might become repulsed in some way or hate
with
it.
With them or they'll hate you?
No, with them.
Wow.
Like, I'm scared. Like, when I've been watching Love is Blind, these girls are always like, before it's revealed and they get to see this guy who they already love.
Right.
And they're going to see him. They're always like, I'm worried if he's going to like me. And I was like, if I were them, I'd be like, what if he's not cute? I can't do it. I cannot be physical with someone unless I'm physically attracted to them. And that is a real problem because, like I said, it's a shallow thing. It goes away. But I also feel like I'd never want to be in a position with a man where I'm like, I've gotten myself into a sexual scenario that I can't get out of. Where I'm like, because I know myself, I like to please people.
So you wouldn't say no, you just keep going.
With it.
So when was the first time you remember being like insecure about your looks? Was this 12? Was this 17? Is this like, was there a moment where a girl said, oh, you got to whatever?
Yeah, I was in fifth grade and someone called me a bucktooth beaver because I had these size teeth in my little
fifth grade head.
And they were like starting to creep out. And that hurt. In fifth grade, I was like borrowing a piece of paper from my friend Ray. And I think I had done it every day for many days in a row. And it was a pencil. He would always give me one. I was always disorganized, forgetting things. And he would always, you know, when like someone just gives you something every day and you're like, I know he's going to give it to me. I'm just going to take it because we go through
without
this.
Without asking or...
Yeah, because it just happens every... This is our thing. That's my pencil at this point. So and I'm in fifth grade, you know?
Yeah, you grab it.
I grab it. He sees me and he goes, damn it, you bucktooth beaver. Why don't you just go in the woods and gnaw down a tree and make your own pencil?
He did not.
In front of everyone. And I was like... And I think my first thought was like, okay, well, I still need lead to like write with because like wood, I'll just like scratch wood into paper. And I think I may have said that to him, but that was the first time I was like, my looks are a problem. Men will punish me for it in front of people. And that's when I went on like lockdown with ever talking to boys or wanting to be gay. Which eighth grade was probably my most awkward year in terms of looks anyway. And then that was the year in sixth grade that my sister came to my middle school and she was gorgeous. She just like grew into her looks. It was very popular. Everyone liked her.
She was younger by 2 years, right?
She was 2 years younger. And from then on, guys in my grade always had crushes on her, guys that I would like have dreamed to have liked me. No. So it just began, and every time, and she's the best person ever and is so not about her looks in any way. Like I love her so much. And so I always feel bad even talking to her about her and being like, you're the reason I hate myself. But you are, Lauren. And, but when we got older, it was like every time she would leave the room, my girlfriends would be like, your sister's so pretty. I hate her. How do you live with it? And I would just be like, I always just felt, I remember walking into a restaurant one time and the hostess was like, oh my God, this child is the most beautiful child I've ever seen. And I'm like standing right next to her.
What about me? What am I doing?
And it just felt terrible. Wow. And from then on, I was like, I am ugly. I have to do everything to not be ugly. And that's when I started being funny, is to like supplement.
To get attention or to be seen.
To be seen.
Wow. Do you think if you were, I mean, you're a beautiful woman, but if you think that you were like your sister's beauty or whatever, that people saw
I'd be way less interesting.
What would you be? What would you be at in your life right now?
She's a teacher.
She's a teacher.
She's a happy teacher. I'd be a happy teacher with kids. I wouldn't need this like approval from strangers, from celebrities, from other people I admire. I wouldn't seek it out so much, but I just want to be extraordinary because I felt I don't want to be average. I don't want to be forgotten. I don't want to be not seen because I felt that way so much. So I think that's it. But it started there. And then, I mean, and then since then, it's just like.
So what do you, I mean, what is it you're chasing right now?
Happiness.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being like, blissful, happy. What are you right now?
I'm like a 7. I'm pretty happy. I'm overworked, but I'm really happy. But you know what I would really like? Like I've been, this coronavirus has got me thinking about if I died tomorrow, what would, I've achieved everything career-wise.
Really?
That I've wanted to.
What have you not achieved? Really,
hosting SNL. That's it.
That'd be pretty cool.
That's the last one. Because
you did Dancing with the Stars, which I want to do someday.
You got to do Dancing with the Stars.
Because I'm a salsa dancer. I've been dancing semi-professionally for 15 years.
Oh my God.
Around the world.
Dude, yes. You need to get on that show. It's so fun. You will love it
like
so much.
Blast.
You'll it's talk about intimacy with your partner. I mean, dancing 4 hours a day with someone. I mean, you get it.
Did you get into it? Yeah.
Yeah, I like fell in love with him. He was married, but like, and his wife even was like, they talk about like this happens every season, like.
There's like a romance, a love. It's like a
everyone
story.
Everyone on the show bonds with their partner in a way that would make. But dancers are very like they understand that that is a different bond than like a marriage, and that it's going to be a crush. There's going to be a flirtation and stuff, but that's what makes the dance good is that you have chemistry. Right. So they're able to like they're all just so much more fluid and comfortable with their bodies and sexuality. And that experience actually really made me a lot more comfortable like being sexy because I've. You know, I really struggle with that. I just, I don't see myself that way. And I rarely do. Like the only time I ever feel like sexy is if I'm like legit, like horny. Like I don't, otherwise I'm just like, I'm a kid.
Right.
And it's, like I said, it takes a lot to get me horny. Like guys are so
They don't have the
fast.
Combo. They don't have the combo.
Slow it down, all of you. Yeah. The girl should be the one moving it along, I think. Or I would like to
be. The key is to get into a relationship where you actually don't make a move and the girl is so turned on, she can't stop. She has to like essentially rip your shirt off.
Yes, yes.
And that's when you're like, okay, I've done everything I can to like connect to her, to be intimate, to be vulnerable, to love, to support, to be fun, to like everything else.
Yes. Although
you can make a move and kiss, but I mean, like,
I really like
that's fine.
Pawed on pretty hard. Like,
no,
that would be a thing.
That's like flirtation. Like,
yes,
you can flirt all day.
Yes,
but you're saying don't make a move like getting in there. We have a lot of things in common that I learned about. We're both born in Ohio.
Born in Ohio.
You were Cincinnati. I was Columbus.
Yeah.
We both lived in St. Louis. I lived there for about 7 years through middle school through college.
I mean, a formative time.
Right. Very formative.
Yeah.
I left, actually, I begged my parents to send me away in eighth grade to go to St. Louis.
Really?
Yeah, because I felt, I just did a post of my, whatever, like 7-year-old self, a photo from me, and I put on the top, I was like, too stupid, too ugly, too skinny, too goofy, and it's talking about the insecurities that I had as a kid because girls want to talk to me. So it's like I had to develop a skill so that I could survive.
Right.
So we have a lot of things in common.
Yeah. You felt ugly too?
All the time. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
Why? When did that start?
I mean,
for
I was
you?
Like this tall when I was like 11 years old. So yeah. It was like this, you know, and I had big teeth and yeah. they were all crooked and everything. And
when did girls start
ears.
Liking you?
It's probably like in high school when I started the development of my body. I had no friends growing up, like literally zero friends. And I just played sports all day by myself. And I remember getting picked, kind of like you. You had a time, what was it, fourth grade, you said? Fifth grade?
Yeah.
The bucktooth uh-huh. beaver thing. I had a time in fourth grade as well where I was picked last on a dodgeball team. Like our class went out to play recess dodgeball. And there were two captains and they sure. were like the two popular kids. And they picked all the guys first and then they picked all the girls. And then I was the last one after all the girls. So it was like a fourth grader being picked after the girls was like super embarrassing. It was like the lowest of low at that time, right? And I just remember being like, no one likes me, no one loves me, no one cares about me. I'm alone. And I can either, one, kill myself.
Got in for, you were thinking these
yes.
things? Yes. Yeah.
And I would go into the principal's office and get in trouble all the time. And I was just like, I wish I were dead. I wish I were, why am I even here? If no one cares about me, yeah. why be alive?
Yeah.
So it was either kill myself. Luckily, I wasn't like doing suicidal things, but I just had these thoughts and I would say it. Or it was like, I'm going to become the biggest, fastest, strongest human being I can be so no one can ever hurt me. Mm. I'm going to be the best athlete so I'm never picked last again. And that's what I did. So from fourth grade until, you know, now, essentially, I was just like, I'm going to be the best athlete possible. And I played 6 hours a day of basketball and football, whatever it was. I went all in. And so I was always picked first. Which is like, that was my skill. And so once I had that skill, then women would see me as like the all-star athlete or whatever it is. And I started to develop as a human being and I started to learn and grow
and be able to have friendships
and have conversations and not be embarrassed all the time. And
yeah.
And I also created a challenge for myself when I was 16 because I was terrified to talk to girls. Even though I was getting more attention, I didn't know how to speak.
Yeah.
It was like, hi. You know, it's like, what do you say to a girl when you're attracted to them as a teenage boy?
I don't even know now what you would
exactly.
say. It's like giving me anxiety thinking about it.
So I created a challenge myself in the summer when I was 16. I was like, every time I feel butterflies around a girl that I see on the street or whatever, at the basketball court or at the gym, whatever it is, I'm going to go up to them and start a conversation. I'm going to run across the street and say hi to them. I'm going to turn around at the grocery store and
16.
Speak. And for 3 months, I talked to girls every single day that I was terrified to talk to. And I fumbled. I had no clue what I was doing. No one teaches you this. You have to mess up and learn. And by the end of the summer, I felt so confident. I could talk to anyone. And I'd still get rejected a lot, but I just didn't care anymore.
Because just the sheer number of rejection, like you
I was just like, okay, I'm still alive.
Like,
yeah, I'm alive
fine.
And I still have this friend and I, you know, I'm healthy. And
yep.
That's why I asked you before. I was like, okay, if they abandon you, and then what?
And then what? I love that you said that.
And
because
then what?
The and then what? It's like,
I still have my career, and I'm still healthy, and my family's there. And
you know, I think the and then what is that I don't like being, when I get romantically jilted, mm-hmm. it really throws me off in a way that it makes me a person I don't like. Mm. I get vindictive. I get, I just channel this like Taylor Swift of like, he will pay. I want to write about him.
Why do women do that?
Because you hurt us so much and we trusted you.
We hurt you or you hurt yourself? You allowed yourself to feel something.
This is the thing. I have allowed myself to be hurt by many of these men. The men that hurt me last year, I have a couple that like, I look at it and I say, the red flags were there. Mm-hmm. All of your friends knew that this was bad news.
You had a choice to leave at any time.
I had a choice to not do those things with him and build that intimacy when I knew it was going to fall apart. But I did choose it. But at the same time, I also have avoided a lot of people by being like, no, this is not good. I know I'm going to... Sometimes guys trick you into thinking it's going to be more than it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that they don't intentionally do it. Right. I think there are some guys that do that, but there are some guys that think this is becoming something and mm-hmm. This is leading to, and you think, oh my God, this might be a guy that is my boyfriend. That might be my husband. I'm like, I'm 35. When I think about a boyfriend, I'm like, is this it?
Right.
And you start getting excited.
Yeah.
You start fantasizing about it because people go, Nikki, don't fantasize. And it's like, well, if I don't fantasize, I don't have anything. Because I haven't had a boyfriend in so long. So the fantasy is like so fun. The crush, the buildup
of
it. And then when that guy meets someone else, decides he doesn't like you anymore, is also too scared of intimacy himself and rejects you, it is devastating. And I can't work as hard. And I'm so scared of that pain. I think that's what I'm really scared of, is just being hurt.
You know what's crazy? I feel like until you fully fall in love with that pain, you're not going to be able to fully throw yourself into a relationship.
Fall in love with the pain.
In a sense of like, I'm not saying I want you to go through pain and experience a lot of it, but you need to be okay with it, I think. And it's like accepting yourself in the pain.
Yeah.
Like, do you feel like you've ever fully accepted who you are?
No. No. I feel like
you're always going to be hurt.
Hmm.
You're always going to be hurt if you never accept who you are.
I'm trying. Like, I am doing everything to accept who I am. It's like
what don't you accept about yourself?
I don't accept being average. I won't accept that's there.
You're not average.
But I won't accept that.
What does average mean? In what area of life? In your career? As a stand-up comic? As a show host? As a girlfriend?
Like, daughter? I just don't know why.
As a sister?
I mean, I just want the best of everything. And I always think that there's something better, I guess. And I don't, maybe that's it. I don't know what I don't accept about myself. I mean, clearly looks are a thing that I'm struggling with. You just have to get there, but I don't, easier said than done.
I get
so mad because a lot of times I think women, when I talk about these things, women who are so in the body positivity community kind of bristle at me saying, I think looks matter and I wish I were prettier and it makes me depressed that I'm not. I can't help that, and it would be a lie for me to be like, I love myself. And so I want to be there. I would kill to have that kind of Lizzo confidence,
right.
But it's just not there for me yet.
No, I get it. I mean, like, my entire life, I feel very confident. I feel like I love myself. Mm-hmm. I believe in myself, but I've never had a six-pack. Like, it's almost there, but it's like, gosh, I wish I didn't have, like, this little layer of, like, fat in my stomach. And I've always had messed up teeth. And when I was 16, I also had 8 teeth removed because I was going to get braces. I had my 4 wisdom teeth removed in St. Louis.
Dude, I had 8 teeth removed.
Shut up. You did not.
I swear to God, people never believe me when I said I had 8 teeth removed.
Look at this. So
they took out so many teeth.
These two here, and then my 4 wisdom. So I got them taken out, and I never got braces because it was football season coming up, and I didn't want to have like a mouth guard.
I had the same
smack in there. And so I went 20, probably it was miserable. I was like, for 2 weeks, just like, with gauze in my mouth. It was so painful. Misery.
I remember getting those little cases of all my teeth.
Oh,
I had
my
8
gosh.
Of them.
It's nuts, right? And so that's crazy.
But then I got braces.
You got braces. You have great teeth.
And they all shoved them together.
Yeah. So I never got braces. Because I didn't want to, I was like, kept pushing it off. And it's been 20 years.
Yeah.
And I'm always insecure about my smile. And even though it doesn't look that bad, it's like, you notice it. You know, when you're in the mirror and you notice it, you feel it. You're like,
it doesn't matter if people don't.
And I got gaps when you look on the side. And it's like, I finally was like, you know what? 6 months ago, I was like, screw it. I'm getting Invisalign. So I wear Invisalign now. And I'm like, you know what? I don't even care. I'm just going to smile and people are going to see it. And I'm going to accept myself through the discomfort.
Yes.
It's not like perfect.
Pain.
It's not perfect, and people will say something, but I'm like, I'm working on myself to get better.
Yes.
So I want to be better. I'm not happy with where I'm at, with my stomach, with my teeth, but it's like I'm training every day. I'm eating clean. I'm seeing improvement, and that's all I can do. It's like,
yes.
I'm not 100% satisfied, but I still love and accept myself of where I'm at and where I'm going, and I'm proud of every single day of taking the actions to improve. So it's like I feel the movement. It's getting better. You know, I'm taking care of myself. I'm eating clean. It's like the ritual every day in the routine, which is helping me like be okay and be in peace.
Yes.
As opposed to like looking myself in the mirror and be like, why are you so ugly every day? Like, because I used to be that way too.
But you have money. You can do the problem is that
I didn't have money 10 years ago.
I know, but
broke.
Right. Me too. But now that we do, you can do things to be hotter.
Sure.
That no one would notice.
Sure.
That no one, like, everyone goes, don't get work done.
Yeah,
okay,
don't get,
well, the hot deeds.
Injections and this
look,
and that.
Yeah, but they look hotter because they've had it and the work is so good that you don't notice it. So I hate that argument. That's what I struggle with is I can afford to spend money
should
on things.
Should you do these things?
Yeah, if it's there, or should
it
I
makes
just.
You happier.
But will that I mean, I'm not gonna be able to put it off forever. Eventually, I will be in my like 70s, and it's gonna all fade.
I think if if you want to do work on yourself, or if you if it's gonna make you happier, I think it's like a both and. I'm not saying like don't do work on yourself if you want to put like. I'm not a fan of like injections and all these things in your face personally. Like my personal preference when women do that, but if it's like if it's gonna make you feel something, you know, if you've got like. I don't know, your nose is all the way over to your side of face and it really frustrates you every day and you can fix it.
Yes.
Okay, fix it. If your teeth are jacked up and you want to fix it, like, I'm fixing it.
I know.
I'm not doing veneers, but I'm doing, like, braces.
The fact that you said the braces thing, because I got Invisalign because I wanted to fix this one buck tooth, right? This
I see
one
you sticks out. You can't even notice it until
this
you said it.
This one sticks out a little bit more than this one.
You have the Invisalign.
And I have the Invisalign.
I couldn't even see it.
So I got Invisalign. It didn't work for me because they couldn't fix it. This is the only reason I got it done. And they couldn't. I went through 3 years of Invisalign.
No,
I'm
you
not
did
joking.
Not.
You the three different sets of like 14
they tried
trays.
Different things
yes and they couldn't fix it sometimes it's just unmovable and so I was like I but this bothers me no one notices but if ever I see it in every picture it stops it now I smile like this all the time
shut up no
and I have a great smile and
you
I
do have a great smile
but it bothers me so much that I can't take it and I can't so I'm like I'm gonna get regular braces I'm going to have
do
6
it.
Months of f***ing regular braces.
And be amazing teeth.
It'll
and
be
it's
hilarious.
Done for the rest of your life.
Yes, and then it's done.
It's done. Time is happening. It's moving.
So I'm going to get 8 more teeth taken out so they can do the braces.
I can't believe you had 8 teeth all at the same time.
Yes.
For one time.
And no one ever believes me, but this was a
no
St. Louis
me
trend.
Either. This is.
And people don't believe that we had to tell jokes to get Halloween candy.
Exactly.
That's another St. Louis thing. You have to trick or treat, you have to tell a joke.
And they say soda in St. Louis.
Yeah, we say
I
soda.
I grew up saying pop in Ohio.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I'd always make fun of people saying soda, and then I was like, okay, no, it's soda.
Yeah,
after
I wonder why you didn't have friends.
Right, exactly. What else is a St. Louis thing that's different?
Racism,
segregation,
alcoholism, toasted raviolis. I mean,
oh, I love
so many fun things.
Wait a minute, is toasted ravioli not a thing anywhere else?
No, that's a St. Louis thing.
Because I, when in school, we had toasted ravioli almost every day in St.
All
Louis.
All the time.
And I was like, this is incredible.
Yeah, you almost, it was
but I'm
almost
like, where is toasted ravioli to every restaurant I go to?
Yeah.
It's only St. Louis?
It's only St. Louis.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they should put it everywhere.
What's the Fritz's? Fritz's or
Fritz's? Root beer,
man, it's so
Emo's
good.
Pizza.
Emo's. Oh, the thin crust is my jam.
Yeah, it's so good.
I never liked Chicago deep crust.
Oh, I like it. I like it all. But
you like deep?
I like a thin crust and a lot of sauce. So the deep dish, you get a thin crust and like just all sauce.
Yeah.
It's a mess. But yeah, I'll I'm not big into pizza, but
I have so many. I have so many questions. Okay. I want to go for like 3 more hours with this.
I know. We could talk.
We only have 10 minutes, so I need
Jesus
to be.
Christ.
I need to be intentional with my last few questions here. What's the funniest joke you've ever told in your mind? The funniest joke you feel like you were like, man, that I hit it. It like I was in the pocket.
You know, one joke that I wrote that I was so proud of because it took a bit of work. Man. Okay, so it was a roast joke that I did, and it. It was because I recently watched an old roast set of mine. As soon as I do a special, I just dump all the material and I truly forget all of it. People will be like, do that one joke. And I'm like, I don't even remember that subject matter. Right. Like, I don't even know where I'd begin conjure up that joke. But this one, because it's a one-liner. So the people on the first roast I did was the Bruce Willis. No, it was Rob Lowe. And Ralph Macchio, Karate Kid, was on the dais. And then also Jimmy Carr, who is a comedian, was on the dais. And I said, you know, I was going through everyone, and then each person you just go like, you say their name and then you go into a joke about them. And I was like, Jimmy A. Carr is what Ralph Macchio has to do to find a place to sleep at night. And that one I love because I remember like trying to figure out what to say about either of them. And I was like, Jimmy Carr, if you Jimmy something, it's like getting in it in a car. God, if there was Jimmy Carr doesn't mean anything. Like you can't Jimmy Carr. It would be Jimmy A. Carr. Wait, what if his middle initial is A? It's fucking A. His middle initial, it was like Alexander or something was his middle initial. And I was like, this is a fucking joke from the heavens. Like the math just worked out on it. So that one was in terms of like working on it. That was one I was really proud of.
Do you feel like the space of comedy right now, everyone is super on their toes, like, you know, walking on eggshells of like, can I go this far? Am I allowed to talk about this subject?
Yeah.
Or is it going to ruin my career?
Yeah.
You know, is one tweet going to ruin my career? Is one thing I said on a college tour going to ruin it? Is one thing on a podcast going to ruin it? If I said something too far, is everyone going to hold on to that for decades?
Yes.
As like, I'm this bad person, or I said something that can never be talked about, even though this is the profession of comedy.
It is scary. And I gotta be honest, I flirt with that line a lot because there's a part of me that wants to get it. Once, like, I'm really tired and I would like to, like, one of my jobs to get canceled.
Wow. That so would you're be kind like, of like, I want to say whatever I want. I want to be free to say it. And if
I
someone...
know I'm a good person. Yeah. I know I'm not racist. I know I'm not. I have behaviors that are informed by the fact that I was raised in an all white community and didn't grow up with black people around me. So there are things that I have to try so much harder to not be. Not to be racist. I was raised in St. Louis.
What school did you go to again?
Kirkwood.
Yeah.
And we had black kids at our school. Thank
I went to
God.
Church in Kirkwood for a little bit.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that I am not perfect by any means. And for someone to be like, I've never had a racist thought. It's like, you can't help sometimes if you have a racist thought. And it's not, it never comes from me from a place of hate, but it just comes from a place of misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. And I'll admit to that. So if someone hears a joke I said and says, she's racist, I know I'm not, so I'm okay with that, and I have made peace with that. Yeah. And if someone goes, you're sexist, you're whatever, you're a bad person, I've struggled so much in my life thinking I'm a bad person, and I really have made peace with the fact that, no, you're not, Nikki. You were in pain, and maybe you lash out sometimes, but deeply, you want everyone in the world to be happy. I'm deeply empathetic.
Yeah.
I don't want to ever hurt anyone, so I just have to hold on to that, because if I do get canceled, the thing that would devastate me the most is having people think I'm a bad person. And as long as I focus and know that I'm not within myself, which is truly all that matters, then I don't need to be so scared all the time.
Wow.
Because I think the people that are most scared are the people that are actually racist.
Wow.
And they should be scared. Because, you know, I don't know. I just feel like the consequences for if I get canceled for something I've said that's really insensitive on a podcast 10 years ago, I will be able to look at that and be like, yuck. I shouldn't be allowed to work at that show because of those things that I said. There should be a punishment for that because you're not supposed to talk that way and it's a different time. So I feel, sometimes the punishment doesn't fit the crime, but I'm willing to accept things I've said in the past that probably could get me canceled and be like, yeah, I said it and I regret it.
Yeah. God, I feel like I want to talk so much more. We have 5 minutes, so okay. I'm gonna be kind and wrap it up. This is a question I ask everyone at the end. It's called the Three Truths question. So imagine it's your last day on earth many years from now. You've lived hundreds of years. You've extended your life. You've done everything you want to do. You've done every comedy tour. You've hosted SNL 20 times. You own SNL. Whatever it is you want to do, you've done it.
Okay. I have a boyfriend.
You've got a husband who's the hottest man in the world who loves you and tells you how beautiful you are every single day. And every ounce of you is amazing.
We still have a great sex life.
Everything. All the things, right? Okay. You've got everything you want. You've achieved everything.
Everything.
Everything you want, you've made happen.
Okay. Friends with Taylor Swift.
Everything.
Uh-huh.
And it's your last day. And for whatever reason, this hypothetical situation, everything's got to go with you that you've created in the world. All your content, all your specials, your work, all your this podcast, everything's gone. It goes with you to the next place.
Okay.
But you get to leave behind three things you know to be true.
Three things.
Three lessons you've learned in your life, three morals, three somethings that you would then share with the world. What would you say are your three truths?
Number one, I would say that animals have feelings, and especially mammals, pigs and chickens and goats and cows and ducks have all the same feelings and in sadness and terror. They feel all those things that your little dog feels, the dog that you love so much that you never want to feel any. I was holding my dog yesterday. My parents are in town and I gave my dog to my parents because I couldn't have them in New York, but I got to hold her yesterday and I was just like, I don't want her to feel any anxiety ever. And then I was thinking about, she was shaking because she was cold, and I was like thinking about all the animals right now that have been born into these terrible lives where they're just born to die and they spend their whole lives terrified and shaking. And I just wish humans had more empathy for animals. Just because we're more intelligent does not mean that I wish people could understand it and have this, and everyone would make a move towards veganism. So that's what I'd wish people could really understand.
You fully
is
vegan?
Like, Yeah, I'm full vegan. And like, it's hard and it sucks. And I don't get to have things I love. Yeah. But you don't get to do everything you want to do. Because sometimes it's not right.
Yeah.
And what we're doing to animals is not right. And so that's one thing I would leave behind. Another thing I would leave behind is I think women do things, and men too. You don't have to do anything sexual you don't want to do. It is totally okay to make someone feel awkward about what they have just suggested you do. Because I think a lot of times we just go, oh, I have to do this because he thought I was supposed to do this right now. So maybe I didn't get the schedule sent to me, but okay. So now's the second time. Okay. Don't be scared to make a situation awkward because you feel unsafe. So many times things happen because you go, this guy is creeping me out, but I don't want to be weird and say that. So I'm going to keep walking with him, even though his right behind me, he's not feeling safe. Instead of running or being like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Because that would be awkward. Make it awkward. And also meditate. Mm. Please meditate. It is the greatest gift to mankind is the ability to sit in silence. It's free. And it will change your life. And meditation is truly the one thing, like nothing has helped me as much with my anxiety and my depression as meditation. I was truly someone who was like really suffering and wanted to like have, I was like, God, am I going to have to get like lobotomized? Like my thoughts are so dark and my life is so good, but I can't get out of this hole. And then when I started meditating, doing TM twice a day, it just saved my life.
Wow.
And I haven't meditated in 2 days, and it's the longest I've gone in 2 years because my schedule has been so slammed here, and I'm off, man.
And the coronavirus is happening.
It is crazy. So meditation is the
key.
And let me just one more truth about meditation. Anyone listening who says, I can't, and you just think you're special enough to be like, I'm too OCD. My thoughts are too much. I run too high strung. You're not special. Sorry. Everyone feels that way about meditation. It is not about not having thoughts. I know that's scary. How could I not have thoughts? It's not about that. Anyone can meditate. I know you right now being like, I can't. I'm different. I have ADHD. I have this. Everyone can meditate, even you, ADHD. You can meditate and it will improve your life so much, and it's free. There is no excuse not to do it.
Yeah.
You can do it.
You can do it for a couple minutes. It doesn't have to be 20 minutes. It can be
and
five.
It's the gentlest practice. You can't do it wrong.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that. These are great truths.
Thank you.
Where can we support you?
You can check out my tour dates at nikkiglaser.com/tour. And I have a podcast called You Up. And I also have a Sirius XM show called You Up with Nikki Glaser every morning on Sirius Channel 95, Comedy Central Radio.
You got that down.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, check her out on Instagram as well. You post a lot of comedy stuff, but also I love the positivity you post out there.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. I acknowledge you for showing up and constantly allowing yourself to be vulnerable in the messiness. For the fact that you talked openly about all these things for me is really inspiring. So
thanks.
I want to acknowledge you for that. I want to acknowledge you from being from St. Louis, and we have that in common. We have 8 teeth missing. So
8 teeth.
I think it's really powerful that you're willing to open up and express yourself in the discomfort of like, I don't have it all figured out and I'm still trying to, you know, feel attracted to myself and I'm still trying to do this and I feel like I need to be great all the time and I'm scared of this. So I really want to acknowledge you for that because
Thank
I think
you.
It's important for people to hear that. Especially,
I don't get it figured out.
Yeah, none of us do.
But we're all trying. I think we need to be honest about trying because it feels bad when you see someone that does have it all together and you're like, I'll never be like them. I like hearing about the struggle. So thank you for letting me share it.
My final question for you is, what is your definition of greatness?
What is my definition of greatness? My definition of greatness is achieving happiness and being kind while doing it.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, please share it over on social media. Make sure to tag me, tag Nikki, and let her know what you thought of this episode, as I'm sure she'd love to hear your thoughts. Also, please subscribe to the School of Greatness over on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts. And if you can, click that subscribe button and leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, as that helps us spread the message of greatness to more people. And you can truly make an impact on someone's life today just by texting them this link, lewishouse.com/995. Or just take the link wherever you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you're listening to your podcast. And also, if you want inspirational messages from me every single week, just text the word right now on your phone, podcast. Text that word right now, podcast, to 614 614- 350-3960, and you'll get text messages from me every single week. And don't forget, laughter is the best medicine. And I don't know who said that, but there's a reason we all know this saying. I hope you remember that you are loved, you are worthy, and you matter today. And as always, you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.